Lord, thank you for a day when we celebrate not only our earthly fathers here, but also our heavenly Father. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for providing your Son as our sacrifice. Now, as we worship you, Lord, we pray that our life song, not just in these moments, but throughout the week, will truly be our testimony to your grace and your love. We love you, Lord, and we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
In 1999, at Disney, the Leave a Legacy program was begun. It gave guests the opportunity to leave a little piece of themselves at one of their favorite places, Disney World. A photo capture station took their picture and etched it onto steel tiles that were mounted on 30 granite megaliths to leave in the legacy place for the rest of all eternity. And for, of course, a small fee, you get a chance to leave your face in Disney World as a legacy. Deep down inside, I think all of us want to have a legacy. Everybody wants to feel like their life counts, that their life matters, that we've left our mark while we're going through this life. So on this Father's Day, I thought I'd share with all of us, dads or not dads, males or females, about how to leave a legacy. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about this. And if you have your outlines, follow along with me. In Proverbs 13:22, it says, a good life gets passed on to the grandchildren. That's leaving a legacy. In Psalm 112, verse 6, it says, a righteous man will be remembered forever. That's leaving a legacy for generations down the road. The Bible teaches us that there are at least four qualities you can find to people who are respected in life. And if you want to build a lasting legacy, you need to build your life around these four qualities that we're going to look at this morning. The first one is this. If you want to leave a legacy, speak with integrity. Fill that in. You want to leave a legacy, speak with integrity. What's integrity? Integrity is composed of three different things. First of all, telling the truth. Secondly, keeping your word. And third, practicing what you believe. If you want to be a person of integrity, always tell the truth, always keep your word, and always practice what you believe. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about these qualities. Look at Proverbs 17:7. It said, respected people do not tell lies. All leadership is built on trust. You don't follow somebody you don't trust, and trust is built on truth. You don't follow somebody who doesn't tell the truth. So if you want to build a lasting legacy, the starting point is a foundation of rock-ribbed integrity. Look at Proverbs chapter 25, verse 14. People who promise things that they never give are like clouds and wind that bring no rain. Have you ever failed to keep a promise? If you want to be a person of a lasting legacy, you need to keep your word. Studies have shown that the number one cause of resentment in children in parents are when the parents don't keep their promises. Has this ever happened to you? You make a promise to your child and then you break it. You don't mean to. You get too busy or you're too tired. You don't feel like it. You don't have the energy for it and you break your promise. You ever done that? I have. Real success means you keep your word. You model integrity, not a lack of it. Is it easy to live with integrity? No, it isn't. That's why you need God's help. Look at Psalm 101, verse 2. I will try to walk a blameless path, but how I need your help. He's talking about God. How I need your help, God, especially in my own home where I long to act as I should. Maybe we need to make that our prayer to God. I like it here. The man is just very honest. He says, I really want to live this way with integrity in my own home. Why is that so hard? Because that's where people know you the best, right? Real success is having those who know you best respect you the most. It's easy to impress people from a distance because they don't get to see you up close where it really matters. Eleanor Roosevelt said this, "Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people." She's speaking of gossip, which is like one of the opposites of speaking with integrity. But who of us isn't tempted to join in on some juicy gossip? You hear just a sentence or two from somebody you walk past, and all of a sudden you got to go back and say, "What did you? I didn't hear the rest of that." If you speak about someone and you are neither part of the problem nor the solution, you are gossiping. Gossip hurts people, ruins relationships, and tarnishes reputations. We need to be people of integrity when we speak. We need to keep a confidence, not spread what we hear to others. Just remember this, folks. If you're involved in gossip, those who gossip with you will also gossip about you. Stay away. You want to leave a legacy? Speak with integrity. Number two, you want to leave a legacy? Serve with intensity. Serve with intensity. Be a servant to other people around you. They've done a study after children. You've heard these studies before. When you ask children, what do you be when you want to grow up? Nobody has ever said, I want to be a servant. It just doesn't make the list. We don't have a tendency in our own selves to be a servant, to want to serve other people. We want to be celebrities or stars, winners or leaders. But Jesus said, if you want to be great, you've got to learn to be the best servant of all. Servanthood is a key to a lasting legacy. Look at Proverbs 14:22. You will earn the trust and respect of others if you work for good. The fact is, most people work for their own good. We work for our own dreams, our ambitions, our goals. We don't always think of others first. That's why most people never leave a legacy that lasts. They don't serve others with intensity. Colossians 3:23 says this, Paul says, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, not for other people. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart. What's the motivation behind doing that kind of work? The motivation is when we do it, we're doing it as we're doing it for God, not as we're doing it for other people. You can turn any task, even the most menial jobs, cleaning toilets, into service to God if you do it for Him and His honor and His glory. How about when you make your bed? You can do it as if you're doing it to God. How about when you clean the house or when you make this sale or when you cut the grass or clean the kitchen or put your clothes away? You can do it all as though you're doing it for God. And that sounds, Kevin, that's just crazy. No, it isn't. Because I'm a whole lot more motivated to serve God and do it in the best way I can than sometimes I am to serve others, even myself. He becomes our motivation. We serve with intensity because we're serving a God who loves us, who forgives us, I'm convinced that there are really no great people. Only ordinary people committed to great causes and great purposes. You don't have to be at the head of your class. You don't have to be the most brilliant, the most wonderful, the most talented, the most beautiful person to leave a lasting legacy. But you can leave a great legacy by serving others with intensity. The tragedy today is most people spend their lives wasting it on things that aren't going to last. Jesus warned about this in John 6:27. He said this, "Don't work for food that spoils. Instead, work for the food that lasts for eternal life." He's giving us a principle here. He's saying, don't waste your time, your energy, your money, your effort on things that are going to rot, spoil, decay, and rust. Instead, invest your life in things that are going to last over the long haul for eternity. So what's not going to last? One of the things that isn't going to last is fame. Today you're the hero and tomorrow you back down to being the zero. It doesn't last. Don't spend a second of your life trying to become famous. Why? Because the moment you hit the pinnacle, it's all downhill from there. Nobody remembers yesterday's famous person. Fame is not something you want to focus on, neither is status. Why spend your effort, your time, your energy on trying to gain status when you won't keep it? Status symbols of today are gone tomorrow. How about pleasure? Oh, this is so great, I'm having so much fun, but it doesn't last. Power doesn't last. You may have authority or power now, but it's not going to last. I guarantee you, one of the persons you're supervising now is going to be your supervisor soon. What is going to last for eternity? First, truth. Truth is going to last for eternity. You should build your life on truth. Build your life on God's Word, the Bible. And you'll be building an eternal legacy. Also, another thing that's going to last for eternity is people. Invest in people. People are made to last forever. Everybody's going to last forever, either in heaven or in hell. And one day your heart's going to stop, your body's going to die, but that's not the end of you. What you do on this earth and what you commit to on this earth is going to determine where you spend eternity. I hope that you've accepted the love and the grace and the forgiveness of God that He gives to us through Jesus Christ freely. I hope you've done that. Most of us here have already done that. If you haven't, I encourage you to do so. Jesus is your only way to heaven. So if you want to leave a lasting legacy, build it on two things that will last: truth, the Word of God, and investing your time and energy in people. They matter. Let me give you a little quiz. I'm kind of curious. Take a little straw poll here. Who has ever heard of Chester Arthur? Chester Arthur, a couple of you? Look at that. Most of us don't have a clue who this guy is. He was a president of the United States. And 99% of us have no clue who this guy is. You think they're going to remember you when they don't remember Chester? The Nobel Peace Prize has been awarded to 96 individuals and to 20 organizations, 116 times total, and I'll bet none of us combined could name five of who received it. Nobel Peace Prize winners, and we don't have a clue who they are. Achievements vanish, awards tarnish, and certificates grow yellow and crumble in your desk drawer. Eventually, no one remembers who was on the cover of Time last week. Now, let me ask you another quiz. Can you name the most helpful teacher you had in school? I can. I got a handful. Charlie Toth, Al Morocca, David Armbrister, John Pinella, Dan Kent, Thomas Urey. Oh, they all impacted my life. To this day, they've impacted my life. We need to be investing in people, folks. People who make the greatest difference, who leave a legacy in your life, are not the most famous, not the most wealthy, not the most talented. They're people who have served you in love. Anybody here ever heard of John Wooden? Some of you have. Maybe just a couple of you have heard of him. He was the head basketball coach at UCLA from 1948 to 1975, and he did something that's never been done again. He won 10 national college basketball titles. 10. Incredible. His name back in the day, he was held high in high esteem. It was incredible what this guy led this school to do in its basketball program. One day in the middle of the week, somebody caught him going into a janitorial closet and taking a broom out, and he took it down to the basketball floor on which he coached his team, and he began sweeping the floor back and forth. When it was over, the person who saw him went up and said, "Hey, why were you doing that? Why? You are the coach of one of the prestigious teams. Why were you sweeping the floor?" And he said, "Sweeping the floor keeps me grounded. It reminds me that I didn't get where I am on my own." He said, "We couldn't win basketball games if it weren't for the people who clean this floor every day." He served with great humility. If you're tired of trying to impress people and instead you want to make an impact on people, find your broom and start sweeping. Serve others with intensity. Number three, give. You want to leave a legacy? You need to give with generosity. Give with generosity. The Bible makes it very clear that we make a living by what we get, but we make a legacy by what we give. You'll never leave a legacy unless you learn to become a generous giver of your time, your money, your effort, your energy, your talents. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 9:9. "Godly people give generously. Their good deeds will never be forgotten because they've left a legacy." Psalm 112, verse 9. "He who gives generously to the needy and shows kindness will be powerful and respected." They will leave a legacy. Andrew Carnegie was one of the richest people in the entire world in all of human history. When this great philanthropist died, they found a little piece of paper inside of his desk. On it, he wrote this: "I'm going to spend the first half of my life making as much money as I can, and then I'm going to spend the second half of my life giving it all away." And that's exactly what he did. He made almost $1 billion. Before he died, he gave away over $450 million. You've heard of Carnegie Hall, Carnegie Institute, the Carnegie Foundation. We see and hear his name to this day. He was building a legacy by giving what he had received, what he worked for, by giving it away. Some of you think, "Well, that's a good idea, man. I'm going to I'm going to spend the first half of my life making money and the second half giving it away. The problem is, how do you know when the first half of your life's up? I'm 60, and I think I'm still in the first half. So you start giving, you start becoming generous now. Amazing things happen when you become a generous giver. Look at Proverbs 11:25. God so badly wants you to become like him, a generous man will prosper. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. So God wants so badly for you to become like him, to be a giver, to be generous. He says, let's just play a little game here. You give and I'll bless you back. You refresh others and I'll refresh you even more. God's saying, let's see. If you can give out, give me, I'll give the blessings that I will give you back. God wants us to give of all of what we have. I've been in church a long time, folks. I've been a church pastor for a long, 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 long time. And I've seen all kinds of givers. Now, I'm not calling any names. But if you've been in church at all, you've been involved in the inner workings of church, you know what I'm talking about. I think after all my years, I can categorize people into three different kinds of givers. Here we go. First of all, there are those who are like Flint Rock. You got to pound them and hammer them and do all this before you even get a spark, right? They want to give it up. Then there are sponge givers. You got to squeeze them. If you need more, you got to squeeze more. If you need a lot, you just got to keep on squeezing. God doesn't want you to be a flint rock giver. He doesn't want you to be a sponge giver. He wants you to be a honeycomb giver. A fresh honeycomb full of sweet honey that when you pick it up, it's just overflowing and it just comes down and it gives freely of what's there. That's the kind of giver that God wants. He wants us to give out of our graciousness to him, out of our gratitude to him, and invest that in others so others can be reached for the sake of the gospel of Christ. We need to be very careful, too, of how we give with our time. Our time is very short, especially today. Every generation, it gets tighter and tighter. Every generation. I remember when my kids were little, I thought my schedule was all. And now it's like, I'm glad I don't have kids at home because I don't have the energy to do that anymore. We need to be very careful not to replace activities with our kids with what they really need. And that's our one-on-one time and attention. Right? I don't know a child today who doesn't have a tablet. I don't even know what a tablet is. I take some at night before I go to bed. I don't know a child today that can't pull out of their pocket, like most of us, a phone and be anywhere literally in the known world, playing a game or whatever. And we have to be very careful that we don't pass those things off to them and don't spend our time and attention with them. That's not what they need. What they need is your presence. Proverbs 3:27 says this. Whenever you are able to do good to people who need help, we're going to try that one more time. Whenever you are able, do good to people who need help. Don't say, come back later. I'll give it to you tomorrow. spend your time with your kids, your grandkids, your not just your relatives, but your friends, not just friends, but people you don't even know well. Spend time with them now. That time is going to be gone before you know it. How many of you would agree that the days are long, but the years are short? Go by in a heartbeat. Spend that time now. You only have your kids for a very short season. They're not going to be home forever. Though some of you are going, oh yeah? Finally got mine out. They came back. You want to leave a legacy? Speak with integrity. Serve with intensity. Give with generosity now and last. Succeed with humility. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:23, arrogance will bring your downfall, but if you are humble, you will be respected. To leave a legacy, you need to stay humble. You've probably heard it before. Remember the lesson of the whale. When you get to the top and you're ready to blow, that's when you get harpooned. You don't want that to happen in your life. There's a lady by the name of Joyce Banda. She was a previous president of Malawi. When she was voted into office, unlike many presidents before her, she decided she wasn't going to flaunt her new position with lavish pride. Instead, she sold off the presidential jet and the fleet of 60 Mercedes limousines, and she used the money to feed 1 million people in her country who were going hungry every night. She was the president, and yet decided she would take the route of humility. Humility is frequently associated with being too passive or submissive or insecure, but that couldn't be further from the truth. Biblical humility doesn't mean you refuse to recognize your talents, your gifts, or your skills. Humble people are successful. They just don't feel the need to boast about it over and over. To be humble is not thinking less of yourself. It's just thinking of yourself less. Humility finds a way to make others feel like they are the most important person in the room. Now, God uses a couple of things to test our humility. One of them is praise. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 27:21. Praise is the test of character. Every time you're complimented, it's a test. Are you going to get egotistical about it? Are you going to get prideful about it? The human species is the only species that when you pat them on the back, their head swells. Be humble. Listen, if someone gives you a compliment, just say thank you. You don't need to give false humility. Oh, no, I don't deserve it. Oh, I did. Just say thank you. If I give you a compliment and you start arguing with me, I'm just going to stop you and say, just say thank you. Thank you. The other thing God uses is mistakes to help keep us humble. Proverbs 13:18. Someone who will not learn will be poor and disgraced. Anyone who listens to correction is respected. You don't have to know it all to be respected. You just have to admit that you don't know it all. Humility is being honest about your weaknesses, being honest about what you don't know, being able to laugh at yourself. The word humor and humility come from the same root word. A humble person has the ability to laugh at himself or herself. Prideful people can't stand to have their flaws pointed out. God says, be humble. The greatest legacy of all that you or I could leave behind is helping somebody come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. The greatest thing you can do for someone is to actually help them determine their eternal destiny. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? Because of the time you took to tell them about Jesus? Because that you decided you would take a chance to share with them God's good news, no matter what they would think of you, no matter if they would laugh at you, no matter if they said they weren't interested in what you had to say, but you shared with them. You want to leave a legacy? Tell somebody about Jesus. You don't need to know all the Bible. You don't need to have all the verses memorized. You don't need that. Just tell them your story. Here's my life before I knew Jesus. Maybe you were raised in church. Maybe you never went to church. Here's how I came to meet Jesus. This is what happened. This is what I did. Now here's my life with Jesus. It ain't perfect, but it's moving on. Just tell them your story. They can refute the Bible. They can argue with you about the Bible, whether or not is even true or still relevant. They can argue, fine. They can't argue about your story. It's your story. You went through it. They don't have to listen. They don't have to want to be a part of it, but they can't argue your story. Tell them your story. I think people like to hear stories. I think people like to hear what happened in other people's lives. So on this Father's Day, why don't you think about leaving a legacy in these ways we've discussed? And by asking God, God, give me someone. Put him in my path, maybe in my family, maybe a friend, maybe someone I go to school with or I work with. Give me someone that I can share about you with them. So I can really leave a legacy, and they will then leave a legacy who will also leave a legacy for all eternity. That's the best kind of legacy to live and to leave. All right? Let's pray together. God, you're always good to us, and we're grateful. Thank you for letting us be here this Father's Day. And thank you, God, for being the example of what it really means to be a father. I know some of us have had great fathers, some of us have had absolutely terrible fathers, but you are a rock in our lives as our Heavenly Father. Now, God, for those of us here who are dads, maybe we did a great job, maybe we were just terrible in it, maybe it was somewhere in between. But all of us here today ask you to help us to leave a legacy according to the way you've described it, following your guidelines. To leave a legacy for our family, for our friends, for you, for your kingdom. Bless us in that. God, bless us as we go through this time of response now. Speak to us and guide us regarding whatever action that you want us to take. And we'll be grateful for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, thank you for laughter, the way we can come together and enjoy one another. In the midst of that, Lord, we do know that there is a serious need for fathers with these characteristics that Kevin shared with us today. And Lord, we thank you most of all that you are our Heavenly Father, and you live out all those things in our lives every day. We thank you for that. Go with us now, Lord. Help us to invite someone to come and worship you with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.